Welcome to episode number 33.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of road trekking reporters.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a show that celebrates the RV lifestyle. Whether you have a small RV like the road trek Jennifer and I travel in, or a great big motor home, a fifth wheel, a pop-up, heck, even if you dry camp out of your car or your tent and are just thinking about getting an RV, hey, this show is for you. We talk about getting out there, enjoying God's creation, meeting interesting people, finding great campsites, exploring the countryside as well as sharing tips on keeping our RVs running right and using the right gear and technology to enhance our camping and RV experience. That's what Road Trekking the RV podcast is all about, the RV lifestyle. Hey, this episode of Road Trekking the RV podcast is brought to you by Van City RV, where they only sell Class B motorhomes, and Verizon Wireless, the nation's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. Well, as this episode is being released, it is just a few days before May 2015. The trees, at least in the northern climates, are budding. Their hummingbirds are making their way back to the north, and Jennifer and I are getting ready to head out on our long trip that's going to be a couple months of driving across the country from one end to another. My lifelong companion and my traveling wife joined me right now.
Hello, Michael.
It sounds kind of weird, my traveling wife, but you are.
That's true. Some wives won't travel. Yep. Some husbands won't travel.
Yeah, we're lucky. We both love to travel. It's been a great week, hasn't it?
It has been a great week, except for poor Ty.
Oh,
he
yeah.
got his first tick. I don't know why our sled dog is a tick magnet, but of course I do know why. It's because where he chooses to make his outhouse in the tall grass and then the weeds. But our dog, he has ticks, and this was the first one of the season.
Yeah, it's not even that warm out there.
No, it's not. And he managed to get one and took him to the vet and had it extracted, and the little tick survived being taken out of his head. Ty's head is still a little swollen from where it got him.
We got that. He picked up that tick over in western Michigan, and it was pretty cold. It was down in the 30s at night, but the ticks were still out. And I guess that tells us you got to keep your dogs on tick medicine. The vet tells us all year round now. They're all over the place, and it's a pretty serious matter.
It really is a serious matter. I always hate putting Ty on tick medicine, and this year I gave him the pills to chew, which I'm still toying with that, whether it's better the topical or the pills, but he's on the pill now, and I just hated to give him the medicine until we really had to, but obviously I should have given it to him a little sooner than I did, because I know they're out there.
They are, and I've ordered some tick removal devices.
Yes, we have all kinds of tick removal devices, and I'm paranoid about ticks because I have two people near and dear to my heart who have Lyme disease, and Lyme disease is very serious.
Oh, it's
so
unbelievably
I have a crazy fear about ticks.
Yeah, well, I think rightly so. I mean, if you know anybody that has Lyme disease, it is a very debilitating disease. The medical community does not know very much about it. It's very difficult to get good treatment, and lots of stuff. So those ticks, be careful. You need to check yourself over. Okay. I like that song.
Yeah, you always have liked that song, Michael.
All right. Well, are you ready to do... Oh, I didn't talk about the tick removal devices. I'll put a link up on them. Actually, they're very cheap. They're little things you can carry around the RV. I haven't bought a magnifying glass so we can see it.
And the important thing is that you're not supposed to do it with bare hands.
Oh, yeah. Don't do it with bare hands. The vet told us that's how you get Lyme disease. These things bite you too, so use disposable gloves. So, all right, let's. We got lots of questions. We're going to do one audio. We've been doing a lot of audio. Let's do one audio, and we'll take some of the regular email questions that came in. You ready for them?
I certainly am.
Questions. You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers. Here's to one of our listener RV questions of the week.
Mike and Jennifer, good afternoon. My name is Tony Kurlander, and I live in Delaware, and I'm a real fan of yours. I appreciate all that you do for the Road Trek community. I listen to your videos. I watch your videos. I listen to your podcasts, and I read your articles. So this is the first time I've called in with a question. I'm going to be the proud owner of a new Road Trek CS Adventurous XL with the E-Trek package. I've watched your video on camping in the winter in Michigan, but I have some additional questions. How can I camp without hookups in the winter? I understand that I probably need to bring bottled water, but I've heard different things about the propane not working when it's cold. I understand propane becomes less efficient, but is that a problem if the weather, say, does not get below 0 degrees Fahrenheit? And I don't mean to breach or broach an indelicate subject, but I've heard about wag bags and putting antifreeze in the black and gray tanks. How do you manage, one's bodily functions when one's camping? Can one flush the toilet when it's 0 degrees out? And are there any problems with running maybe an auxiliary propane heater inside the coach or continuing to use the Aldi heater running on propane during the winter? So, listen, if you could address some of these questions, I'd sure appreciate it. I'm looking forward, as I say, to getting a new Road Trek. I haven't even gone camping once in it, but I'm going to be using it a lot, and I'm looking forward to using it this winter. So thanks a lot, and take care.
Well, by the time winter comes, Tony, you will have it all down pat. Won't be a problem at all. And it's funny to talk about winter now that we're all finally de-winterizing our RVs. But the important thing is, one, winterize it. When it starts to get cold wherever you are, you want to make sure that you have antifreeze and all the pipes, and you no longer will use running water. So you take bottled water to drink or to make coffee. And you're right, use RV antifreeze. You flush the toilet. Use the toilet just like you normally do. Keep a gallon of RV antifreeze and use that to flush the toilet. Now, we camp. Oh, this is the third year. We got a big camp out coming again in January. It's a ball in the wintertime.
It is fun, but we had electric hookups, and not that we needed them, but we'd have used the electric hookups.
Yeah, so if you can find a campground that has electric hookups, that makes it a little easier. I would not take a second propane heater. I wouldn't do that. Your Aldi heater, which is runs off propane, if you're going to boondock, does a really great job. We camped, we just got our exact unit you're getting, Tony, the Road Trek CS Adventurous XL. We had that in our most recent winter camp out where it got down to 5 below 0. The Aldi worked great. We do, if we have electrical hookups, we did bring along a little ceramic electrical heater.
That gives you that option. You have that if you need it.
And that really supplements it when it's very, very cold. But those things will suck your batteries, even your E-Trek option batteries, down real low. Those ceramic heaters, they take a lot of juice. So if you have electrical hookups, by all means, use one of those. And you can use it without it. It just knows that it will probably exhaust your batteries over, 8-10 hours because they take a lot of juice. So no problem. You won't have any problem. And I think the big question you asked was about the toilet, and the toilet you use just as normal, except instead of flushing it with water, you pour some antifreeze in the bowl and use that to flush it. There. I think that was kind of delicate, right?
Right.
All right. Good luck, Tony, and have a great time. Enjoy it. We hope to see you out there. All right. Let's go to email questions. We have a lot of email that came in. I'll go through this quickly here. Let's see. Mike and Jennifer, I noticed on one of your videos that the RV you drive is a diesel. We're shopping for a Class B. We're trying to decide whether gas or diesel. Nancy is afraid we may not be able to find fuel in some remote areas such as Canada. Have you ever had this problem? This is from Bert. Well, I don't know about remote areas of Canada, Bert, but we've traveled all over the country, and sometimes diesel is a little bit harder to find, but not much.
I wonder if this is a male-female problem or just a personality trait, because my car at home, I like to make sure I have gas in it. And I think men, or maybe it's just the men in my life, like to see how empty they can get the tank before they have to fill it up again. But I believe in keeping the tank you know, not letting it get too low. And when you're out in the middle of nowhere, you've got to get gas. When you pass the gas station, you might be half a tank, but you top it off.
But I can say in almost 100,000 miles of traveling in diesel over the last 3 years, we've never had an issue finding diesel. The one time I got really fried, though, is I was driving down, we were in Iowa, that boring road right down the middle of Iowa, not the freeway, it was a two-lane, I can't remember it, it's such a boring road, but and I had to get some gas, and there's this sign on the road, you know, gas, next exit, gas station, diesel, you know, great, got off, where is it? Turn left. It was like 6 miles into town. Now, I would have gone a mile down the road and taken a station right next to it, but that's the only frustration I had. I couldn't find diesel until I got 6 miles down the road there.
That does send you over the edge they say diesel, and then you find you
next
have to drive.
Next exit. It's 6 miles outside. That's not an exit. That's a scam to get you into the town. We've never had a problem. Let me give you an app that will help you out, Tony, if you're Bert is the one who wrote that question. Bert, if you have a concern about that, or if Nancy, your wife, has a concern, get the app Road Ninja. Road Ninja, NINJA. It's a really cool app. I'll put a link on the show notes, roadtrekking.com/33. You can get a link to it. This is a free app, and you can say, I want to know what gas stations are ahead. It will tell you every exit that you're driving. This is only good on interstates, of course, but that's where a lot of you will drive, and you can program it so it'll tell you where diesel is and even what the price of diesel is. So that helps, roadninja.com. Okay, here's a question that comes in from Brenda. Brenda says, Jennifer, I've heard you talk about some bags you use for packing clothes. What are they, and how do I get them? So Brenda wants to know, I think, about e-bags.
She does want to know about them. When we got our road trek, we were curious about how to carry our clothes, and somebody told us about e-bags, and then we got some, and we love them. We've got red, and we've got blue. We each have three, and we put You can organize however you'd like to organize your clothes. It keeps things orderly, packs them nicely. I love those e-bags.
How many of my t-shirts did you get in that one bag you packed it? I think you got 9 of my t-shirts in one.
Yeah, we did a video about how much you could put in one of these bags. However you want to arrange, if it's a short trip, maybe an outfit, what you're going to wear for one day's clothes in a bag, if it's just a couple of days, or if you want to make one like a drawer at home where you keep tops, t-shirts, sleepwear, underwear, and another one, bathing suits, however you want to divide up your clothes. It's a very orderly way to do it, and I really like them.
We take 3 e-bags each. They fit in the overhead compartments, and we have been gone, you know, we're gone for 2 weeks at a time at the most sometimes before we do laundry, and they get us through there. We also have a little wardrobe where you can put, you know, nice outfits. You're going to go to church or on the road, or you need something to go out for dinner. But e-bags, they're better than a suitcase.
They are, and you can wash them.
Oh, yeah, they're very nice, and they're real lightweight. If you want to see them, just go to the, look at the show notes. I'll put a link into that video that Jennifer talked about where she's packing up our e-bags, and you can see what they're like, and there's a link of how you can get them. So, again, the show notes are roadtrekking.com/33. Now, here's an email that comes from Roger, who asks about cutting the cord, the proverbial cord, using one phone for home and one for RVing. Mike, what's involved in this? Are there other solutions? I don't like having to pay for a phone we don't use at home. And besides, all I get are people calling us up and asking us to give them money for stuff. So what do I use? How can I cut the cord and still have a phone that works everywhere? Well, you could just use your cell phone. Well, that's one thing you can do. I put the question to Verizon Wireless Uber user Paul Ulrich, and asked Paul to help us out in answering your question, Roger. So here's Paul.
Well, I've been using one phone pretty much full time. It's my cell phone, my Verizon cell phone, and I use it at home all the time, and I use it on the road. But I think you're talking about, our reader's talking about getting rid of a hardwire. That's what I'm saying. So to find out anyway, and to get better advice and all this stuff, we went to the Verizon Wireless Uber user himself, Paul Ulrich. Paul's a regular on the podcast, and Paul, what do we tell this guy? He's wondering if this makes sense for him.
Right. Well, I'm going to give you two options. Absolutely, it does make sense. Let's answer that first. It does make sense. I'm going to give you two options of things he can do. First option is a lot of people are cutting the cord and just using their cell phone as their only phone.
That's what I do, pretty much.
Right. Right. A lot of people do that. And we've talked in the past about cell phones, smartphones comes in all shapes and sizes. You can get a small screen. You can get the big screen, the little crossover smartphone, tablet, phablet type phones. So you have a really big phone. Sometimes people, I don't know how they use their phone in their RV. They might want a small screen or a big screen. So if you wanted to do that, that's definitely an option. You can use just your smartphone at home and use it while you're out and about RVing. Another option, if you're not really in, if you don't really need a cell phone, maybe you have your own GPS units and you don't need a cell phone, we still have the wireless home phone. That's $20 a month, gives you unlimited talking anywhere in the US. And that's a device you can take with you. You can unplug it from your home, plug it into your RV, your calls go over the Verizon network. So that's two different options you can have if you want to cut the cord and use one device for home and on the road.
So that one option for the home and on the road, this is the same physical phone that you have at home. You just put it in the RV, right?
Right. If you use the wireless home phone, it's just a little unit. Looks like kind of like a router that you might have on your computer. It looks like a cable modem. And that you plug your home phone. You can just take your old home phone, plug it right into the device, and all your calls go over the Verizon network. You can keep your number. You don't have to change your number. You can bring your number over. And that unit can, if you're going on the road, you can unplug it from your house and plug it into your RV, and that number follows you anywhere you go.
So if you have this might make even sense, even if you do use a cell phone, which almost everybody has, this is that one phone, and you don't ever have to worry about missing home phone numbers, and it makes a lot of sense. And how much is that?
Correct.
What
right,
is that?
That device, it's $20 a month. And it's unlimited calls.
Gee.
So that one's even more economical than your smartphone plan, which is a little bit more expensive than that, even at the lowest level.
Do you need to have a special antenna for that?
It comes with it. It's got a little antenna on the back, and you're all set. Just plug your old home. You can keep your old home phone. If you have one, stuck to the wall there, you can just take it off the wall, plug it right into this device, and take it with you.
All right. So he wants to find out. He can go to a Verizon, any Verizon retailer, and just say, hey, tell me, what does he ask for? What's the name of the product?
It's called Wireless Home Phone.
Wireless Home Phone. Well, that is why Paul Ulrich is the wireless Verizon Wireless Uber user, because you had the answer. Hey, thank you, Paul, and we'll pass that along to our reader.
You betcha. Anytime.
There you go. Maybe that's what we need, Jen.
Maybe.
All right. Readers Carol and Ted send us a note. Hey, Mike and Jennifer, we tried to book the trip with your Montana photo safari in June, but by the time we went to register, it was sold out. Anything else coming up? Oh, I feel sorry for you. We still got a waiting list of about 13 people on that list. Nobody's canceling. So,
It's going to be fun.
It is going to be great fun. I'm sorry. We've rented every space that we could get in three national forest campgrounds actually in Montana, and they're all filled up with people who want to be on that photo safari. But we do have a new thing that we're going to announce. Actually, this is the first time I'm announcing it now, and this is the Road Trekking Fall Fun and Art Fest. And that is going to be September 24th through the 27th at American RV in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And this is going to be an awesome, fun-filled gathering that coincides with the internationally acclaimed Art Prize in Grand Rapids. That Art Prize is a pretty cool thing, John.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Never been there before, but from what I hear, they transform 3 square miles of downtown into an open-air art exhibit.
Yep.
That attracts, a lot of people from all over.
Yep.
World's most talented artists.
Yeah, I mean, it's like every block has art. It really is cool. This is becoming one of the major events in the art scene everywhere. And Chad Neff and the guys at American RV have arranged a really neat little campground there for us. And they've got buses that will run on the hour during the day. And they'll take everybody downtown to the Art Fest. And you'll have a place to get off the bus and get on. No extra charge for any of that stuff. There's also, for those people who like casinos, there's a bus that'll take a run out to a nearby casino in the area. And I think they've even got a golf excursion planned. So everything's covered. The transportation's all covered in the fee. The job of everybody that goes to it is to have fun. That's why we call it the Fall Fun and Art Fest.
And they're going to have nightly entertainment at the campgrounds and technical seminars, maybe food on site, and it's going to be fun.
Yeah, there's going to be this, I can't wait for this, there's a converted RV that has been turned into an on-site microbrewery. There's a really hot little brewery in Holland, Michigan. We went to that. Do you remember when we went to that a couple of years ago? We were on a bike tour and we stopped in. We all went up there and had a great time. And they have this awesome micro brew. And they're going to be there at American RV at the Road Trekking Fall Fun and Art Fest. And they've converted an RV into a little microbrewery. So I'll put a link on show notes. You can learn more about it. It's, I think, $300 for the whole time, September 24th through the 27th, per coach, not per person, per coach. So check it out. And that's coming up. And then we should tell everybody that our second, we have a date anyway. I don't think we can take reservations for it yet, but we have the date for the second annual Road Trekking Upper Peninsula Snowshoeing Winter Campout, the one we talked about earlier.
Well, that's going to be fun too. It doesn't seem right to be talking about snowshoeing when we haven't had summer yet.
Well, everybody's mad because we didn't give them enough notice on the Montana photo safari. And now, so I'm trying to give them as much heads up. So don't say we didn't tell everybody, but that one's coming up. If you want to save those dates, January 22nd through the 24th of 2016.
That was fun.
That is really fun up north. Okay, one last question. This is directed towards you, Jennifer, and it came in from Terry. She says, Jennifer, would you share some of your favorite recipes for on the road? I think Terry heard us talking about trying to eat healthy last week. Specifically, what are your favorite meals that you take? So there you go. I know what the ones that I like that you take, but why don't you answer Terry's question?
Okay, I'll try to keep it simple because, of course, the old basic is a salad with grilled chicken, grilled steak or fish or whatever you want to put on. But our something very easy, a new favorite, is salsa chicken. It is so easy to make, 25 minutes
chicken. Salsa
to cook
chicken.
It up. That's so easy. And then something I really like is vegetable lasagna. I like to make a big pan of it, put it in small containers and take it with us and keep some in the freezer and it's perfect.
Well, they want your recipes, so
I guess we'll have to somehow put it online. We'll have to do a little demo.
Yeah, we'll have to get the camera out and maybe you can do a cooking show for us and show us how to do that.
I get to wear a new hat.
Do we have a chef's hat?
No.
Oh, okay. Hey, we need to get like a road trekking apron.
There you go.
We'll do a Jennifer's cooking show. All right, so you'll do that.
Sure.
Salsa chicken is really simple, and you make up little samples ahead of servings ahead of time. We can put them in the freezer and take them with us. And then your vegetable lasagna. Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, I have come to really like that better than meat lasagna.
Yep. So we'll put those recipes on. We'll do a video that'll be coming up. All right. That was a lot of email.
That certainly was, but it was fun.
It was fun. So you have a question, you can either send it in by email, like many of our callers just did, or just leave us a voicemail. We love those too, to hear your voice. Kind of makes you feel like you're right in the RV with us. Just use the leave voicemail link on the right-hand side of the Road Trekking page. Jennifer, thanks for being with me for this segment.
My pleasure, and I hope everybody has a wonderful week.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question, leave a comment.
Look on the right side of Mike's RoadTrekking.com blog and click the send voicemail button. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
Hey, sponsoring this part of the podcast is Van City RV in St. Louis, Missouri. Van City RV only sells Class B RVs. Owner Ray Dwyer has been in the RV business for 44 years, and he is considered to be the dean of Class B RVs. Nobody knows more about small motorhomes than Ray and his crew. They have new and used Class B motorhomes in stock from all the major manufacturers, and when you fly in and buy your RV from Van City, they'll arrange to have you picked up at the airport and they'll reimburse you $500 towards your airfare. And then your RV will be fully prepared for travel. It's complete with full tanks of fuel and propane. After a complete orientation with their staff on your new RV, you can take delivery and set out for home. Hey, here's Dan the Van Man with this week's special Van City RV Specials.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, I want to let everybody know about the Road Trek incentive this month. If you're a road truck owner and you're trading in, buying a new road truck, you get an additional $3,000 incentive. I've got a nice 2013 Road Trek SS Agile, only 9,070 miles on it. Loaded with the backup camera, navigation, generator, ready to go. Give us a call, 1-800-467-3905, or check us out at vancityrv.com.
News.
Mike's got news.
RV news, travel news, tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle.
Here's the road trekking news of the week.
Well, they have pretty much now put everybody at least in prison or in jail or awaiting sentencing in this massive motorhome theft ring that officials have busted, and it worked across a number of states. A Nevada man who has been linked to the theft of all these motorhomes, particularly a bunch of them most recently in West Michigan and elsewhere, was convicted over the past week or so of multiple charges after a trial of his in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The guy's name is Ronald Myers, 56. He was convicted of charges related to the theft of motorhomes in Grand Rapids and Holland. The cops had busted an accomplice, Walter Nunley of Kentucky, last year, and he copped a plea. So I bet he was the one who ratted out the Nevada guy. He copped a plea and admitted to stealing a motorhome. And there were like a whole bunch of motorhomes taken, not just in Michigan, but in other states as well. Myers, the guy convicted this past week, had also had some convictions related to interstate theft of motor vehicles and possession of stolen motor vehicles. What he did is he left the Kentucky Department of Corrections in early September of 2011. And at that point, as a parolee, he got picked up by Nunley, his accomplice, and a woman who has not yet been indicted. And they then drove to Tennessee. They got a driver's license. Then they went to Texas, where they obtained an authentic but blank Virginia motor vehicle titles. This thing's pretty organized. And then said a U.S. Assistant Attorney Michael McDonald, this guy Myers just commenced stealing and selling motorhomes. Now, he stole a motorhome from a place in Alabama, in Huntsville, Alabama, and then he applied for a title under an alias in Mississippi, including that counterfeit Virginia title that he had stolen. That was a big Travel Supreme motorhome, and he took it to Indiana, to a driver for a Denver company. He flew to Denver. He got $76,000 for it. And then a month later, he stole the Monaco Signature Commander from Victory Pontiac in Calera, Alabama. Then he moved up to Michigan. Anyway, they caught the guys awaiting sentencing, and that ring has been busted. But he was basically stealing them right out of dealer lots. And they found him at one point with bolt cutters, so he was going in and grabbing them when they're closed. And amazing that you can steal something that big and get away with it so long. But that's exactly what happened. Another story played out this past week in the state of California and a Los Angeles family. You want to talk about the RV trip from hell. This is worse than that Robin Williams movie, RV. Remember that movie? It's a pretty funny movie. Everything that could go wrong goes wrong. Well, this family rented a Class A motorhome from a company in L.A., a company called L.A. Discount RV. In Marina Del Rey, they operated. And the planning, they were so excited. They had their kids and their dogs, and they're going to drive to Idlewild and spend four really nice nights at a campground there. This was their getaway vacation. Well, they said they looked, and the pictures on the website looked good. So they went in, and they paid $1,500 to rent this RV for those that four-day trip. And once they're ready to roll, the problems started. They start driving. The air conditioner in the cab doesn't work. Not good, right? So what they did then is they fired up the generator to turn on the rear air conditioner, which they were told will cool it as well. But then the refrigerator stopped working. They went to charge their cell phones. They're calling back to the rental place all the time. Saying, hey, this thing's not working. They went to charge their cell phones, and the cigarette lighter wouldn't work, didn't charge their phones. They're not even out of L.A. And then they pull over and they look, and the entire back of the vehicle is soaked in gasoline. So they called the owner of this rental company, and the guy said, well, maybe that's because you the RV vented while you were gaining altitude. And they just didn't think that made sense. But they make their way to the campsite. They get there.
You ready for this? The heat wasn't working. No heat. And then they're going, what's that smell? It was leaking sewage. In fact, they get kicked out of the campground. I'm sorry. Don't mean to laugh at their expense. They get kicked out of the campground because of leaking sewage. So back to L.A. they go, and they wanted a full refund. They didn't get it. They got about $885 back, but they're out all the gas. And these people are just like, how come? So they called the local TV station. The local TV station sent their I team over, and they, you know, did that ambush interview with the guy who owns it, and he kind of threatened to beat him up or pushes the cameraman around or something. And then he calls up and complains and apologizes and said he was using consigned vehicles or whatever it was. The point is, if you're going to rent something, check out the company you're going to rent from. Make sure that it is legit. This family looked up and they found lots and lots of complaints about this this company they rented from. So they are making a lot of noise, but their vacation was ruined, and it surely was. One last story in our news of the week. This came from Wisconsin, a sad story. And unfortunately, it's one that we see several times a year. There was a person who died from carbon monoxide poisoning. They were actually in Madison, Wisconsin, and it camped out in an RV at the Midwest Horse Fair in Madison, Wisconsin this past week. And the guys from Junction City, Wisconsin, the county medical examiner came by, and the 61-year-old guy was dead in the RV, found overcome by carbon monoxide in the RV outside the horse thing at the fairgrounds. They're suspecting a generator in the camper was the likely source of carbon monoxide. Now, I have a lot of questions. Was the generator inside and running, or was it attached to, and was there a leak from the pipe? Whatever it was, it is so important when you do RV that you have a working a carbon monoxide detector in your RV. Now, all the new ones do, but a lot of the old ones don't. And unfortunately, people just like at home don't maintain the batteries on them, don't make sure and test them. So make sure you do, because we see stories like this with too much regularity. It really does happen all too often, and that's never good. So that's our news of the week. News of the week.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV tech tip of the week.
Well, you probably have seen all the attention on the news over the past week, but we started to see severe weather outbreaks across the country. It's already there's already been an outbreak of tornadoes in Tornado Alley, and lots of devastation. And for those of us who travel a lot in our RVs, being aware of bad weather is really critical. And that's where we have some great traveling tips for you, for traveling tech tips here for you this week. And it comes from the latest generation of weather warning apps. And there are a number of things out there that can make sure that you know of approaching danger with a level of accuracy that we've really never seen before. Real-time alerts, and they're pretty easy. The first thing, though, is you may not realize this, but if you have a smartphone today, almost all of them now automatically receive emergency weather alerts. So what you want to do is check your phone's settings and the notifications, and you'll see where you can make sure these alerts are on. It gets your phones, all smartphones now get emergency alerts, but you have to turn this feature on. So check with your carrier and ask for specifics, but when this is activated, you'll get warnings automatically. They'll beep, you'll hear some noise, your screen will flash, and they'll tell you if there's an emergency weather alert in your area. It also sends out amber alerts, by the way, and in really dire circumstances and situations, presidential warnings. So that's a really great feature. It comes on all Android and iPhone. Almost every major smartphone now has that. So check it out. You'll find it in the settings. Since every phone is different, I can't tell you every one of them, but under settings and notifications, and it's pretty easy to set. Now, if you want more weather information besides alerts, think about an app. And the one that I like a lot, particularly as we're about to set off right through the heart of Tornado Alley in Kansas and Oklahoma, and moving that way over in the next couple of weeks, we'll be going. I like an app called the Tornado Warning App. It's actually from the American Red Cross, and it's free. Works on Apple and Android devices. It tracks a tornado as it approaches, and you literally get step-by-step advice about what you should do, where the storm is. It has a little siren warning built into the app, and it goes off when officials issue a tornado warning in the area that you happen to be at. And there's also a customizable notification system that you can let friends and family know if that you're safe by social media and text if something happens in the area you're at. So check that. That's a tornado warning app from the American Red Cross. And then there's one more app I like a lot. I go back and forth all the time on my favorite radar apps, but the one I'm using right now is My Radar. This is a free app, and it works on all the major mobile platforms, Android or iPhone or whatever you want. Windows Phone, I think it has that as well. It displays animated weather radar around your current location. And this is pretty cool. It allows you to very quickly see what weather is coming your way. I spent $3.99 and upgraded the app, and that includes weather warnings and alerts with push notifications, so it tells you what kind of severe weather is in your area. Now, I know I mentioned those three apps and that special notification service. If you didn't write it down, don't worry. Just go to the show notes for this episode. I will put links into a roundup on all those apps, those weather apps. It'll be under the traveling tech section. Just go to the Road Trekking blog and look up for this podcast show notes, which will be roadtrekking.com/33. roadtrekking.com/33. Hey, are you planning a trip? Well, make sure you pack the Verizon Ellipsis Jetpack. This compact design jetpack makes perfect traveling for you. Whether you're carrying it around town, or whether you're RVing across the country, or whether you're bringing it on a business trip, this gives you the ability to connect up to 8 Wi-Fi enabled devices. You can stay connected to Verizon's 4G LTE network and take the internet anywhere you go. I use the jetpack whenever we travel in the RV. I absolutely love this thing. It lets me do my work from anywhere in the country. And I can tell you there's only a couple of places in the most remote wild areas ever where I was not able to get a usable signal. So when you see my blog reports from the road, you see my videos from the road, the podcasts, all of that is done thanks to this jetpack. I can get this all loaded on the servers for you to see. Now, you can use your jetpack to do anything from streaming movies to accessing the internet. And again, you can get as many as 10 hours of use out of this jetpack with one charging. It's really a long-lasting battery, so you can get a lot more done while you're on the go. And it's pretty cool. Check it out. Go to your local Verizon retailer today, and you can learn more about the Verizon Ellipsis Jetpack and all of the other connected solutions that Verizon has to make for you that will work pretty darn cool. Also, visit roadtrekking.com/Verizon, or actually /VZW. That's roadtrekking.com/VZW for stories about how technology can enhance and improve your life.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique road trekking RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
Well, this is a great podcast, Off the Beaten Path report, and you will hear a great trip that to Monument Valley in Utah. And if you want to earn a free road trekking hat, like the caller here on this Off the Beaten Path report did, just send me an Off the Beaten Path report. Use the leave voicemail link on roadtrekking.com. If I use your Off the Beaten Path report, I will send you a free road trekking hat, as I did to the couple who gave us this great report from Monument Valley.
Hi, my name is Valerie Mingus. My husband and I just returned from a vacation in Arizona and would like to tell you our off-the-beaten-track story. We went to Monument Valley, which is on Highway 193, northeast corner of Arizona, and we did take the tour rather than driving a road trek through Monument Valley. One of the benefits is you ride in a four-wheel drive, and the driver can take you places that you could not go on with your own vehicle, no matter what kind you have. And he was wonderful to take us to various sites. He also told us about three points of interest that we might want to consider. We do like taking sunrise pictures. He told us the next morning, after having stayed overnight in the Monument Valley Campground, that by going north on 193, we can go to a place called Redlands, which is a prominent viewpoint overlooking Monument Valley. My husband took beautiful sunrise pictures there. We left that point, continued going north, and once you have come to Mexican Hat, which is a town, you go a few miles, and there is Highway 263. By going north on 263, you are on a paved road, but there is 3 miles of dirt road in between the paved on one end and the paved on the other end. The guide told us that the road was well-maintained, and indeed it was. I was a driver, my husband the cameraman, and we proceeded to drive this. It was fantastic. The road was beautiful. The views were outstanding. And we never would have found this place had we not gotten this information. The road, which is the three miles of the dirt road, is called Moki Dugway. M-O-K-I or M-O-K-E-E. Dugway, D-U-G-W-A-Y. And once we reached the top, we then turned left to a road out to Muley Point, M-U-L-E-L-Y Point. That too was a dirt road. There was a sign saying, do not navigate if it has rained because it becomes impassable. It was dry. We had no problems. We got out to the point. It was absolutely gorgeous. Monument Valley in the distance, Valley of the Gods more in the foreground, and additional landscape looking very much like Grand Canyon. I encourage you to consider going that route and taking the time to do this. Thanks. Bye.
Well, thank you for sending that report in. And as I said, you get a free road trekking hat. Now, you have a good off-the-beaten-path report, listeners, that you would like to share with us? Just use that leave voicemail link. It's on the right-hand side of the screen at roadtrekking.com. Just click on that, and then you use the computer microphone, the microphone that's built into your computer or your smartphone or your tablet, and you can then send us information. What is an off-the-beaten-path report? Well, like that, it's a great place to take photos in a big place like Monument Valley. It can be a great wayside spot you found. Last week we had Billy Cochran reporting about the Coondog Cemetery down there in Alabama. Billy's got a good report coming to us again next week as well. And all that stuff is just great information. The stuff that you don't necessarily find in a guidebook that you would love to show some neighbors and friends, well, you give us those off-the-beaten-path reports, and if we use yours, if we feature yours, we would be delighted to send you a free road trekking hat. And don't you just know that all the cool kids are wearing road trekking hats.
You're listening to Road Trekking, the podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos, and photos on the roadtrekking.com RV travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. From the blog, just click the send voicemail button. That's at roadtrekking.com. The Small Motorhome RV travel blog. Travel blog.
Well, it comes up time now for us to meet James and Stephanie. These are two of the most fun people that I have met from the RVing world in a long time. Two really energetic folks who travel around the country in a Class B. They have a Class B that they call Das Bus. And we'll talk about that in a minute. You can get to their website called The Fit RV, and you can actually check out a video on how they modified that Das Bus. But James and Stephanie, they live in Salt Lake City,
And Stephanie's a fitness instructor. James is a competitive cyclist. And they are, they're young people. They're fairly young compared to most, you know, the average age of most RVers today. But they have a passion for sharing their love of travel with everybody. But their particular expertise, which is in physical fitness. Now, before you turn this off, listen to me. If you are over the age of 50, you need to know that you can live powerfully, healthy, unless, you know, the roll of the dice comes against you and you get some terrible disease. But in general, you can live fit and healthy and look good into your 80s, into your 90s, if you do one thing. Stop eating junk food. And combine that with exercise, vigorous exercise. Now, in this interview, you're going to hear this young couple talk about, well, what can you do on the road? They're also going to talk about some food, and we're going to have some fun talking about Das Bus as well. But please listen to this, because you want to be around for a long time. That RV you have cost a lot of money. You worked really hard to get where you are now, to be able to go out and enjoy the countryside. Most diseases that kill people much too early in this country come about because of lifestyle, because of a lack of exercise, and because people eat bad food. So we want to talk a little bit about that. And I love this segment. This is they have a website called thefitrv.com, but you need to meet James and Stephanie. So let's bring them on the podcast right now. Stephanie and Jim, join us right now. Hey, Fit RV guys, how are you doing?
We are doing well.
Hey, back. We're doing awesome. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing well. Besides the fact that you guys have just done an amazing job with helping people stay healthy on the road, we also are kindred spirits because you have also embraced that small motorhome lifestyle.
Oh, absolutely. We're Class B folks all the way.
That's right.
Tell our listeners, and we will have links to thefitrv.com, to your blog and your tips and all the stuff we talk about today. We'll have that on our show notes. But tell them a little bit about Das Bus, your Class B RV.
All right. I'll let James take that one.
Yeah. So we got Das Bus a few years ago, and we got it mostly. I'm a competitive cyclist. By that, I just mean I compete. I don't mean I'm actually very competitive about it. But we got it a few years ago, and the idea was to have my own private facilities at cycling events, because they're usually in the middle of nowhere on the side of the road. And
your own sag wagon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
More to the point, imagine 200 cyclists and 3 porta-johns.
Right. Been there, I know.
So then you'll understand why it's such an awesome thing. And we did, and then we realized it opened up a whole lot more possibilities than just going to bike races. And so we started taking trips and embracing the lifestyle.
Well, yeah.
Somewhere along the way, I remodeled it.
Yeah.
It's been a few years now, but that's actually gotten to be just a crazy popular page.
People are interested in RV remodels. So we get a lot of hits on our website, just people interested in what James did to Das Bus.
Well, James, you did an amazing – I watched a video actually last night and showed Jennifer, and it's a beautiful job. But you have some woodworking skills.
Yeah,
I do. I've got a leg up, I guess, on a backyard kind of mechanic.
But just some great ideas. Among other things that you did, and I want to get to our fit conversation here, but among other things I was really impressed with, Jennifer and I are big-time winter campers in our Sprinter, and you have brought all of your pipes inside, so you don't have to worry about that, just some great ideas, and just take a look. We'll put a link up to your to that video. You guys both did a wonderful job on it. And we can have a lot of fun just talking technology.
Definitely.
My background's also, I before we RV'd, I've loved to do long-distance bike rides. I didn't do races, but big events, you know, cross countries, the rag rides, and that kind of stuff. And
that's the stuff I enjoy, too. I don't like the competitive.
Yeah, those people are nuts, those hammerheads. heads.
I know. They're all masochists.
Yes, they are. I mean, I'd rather live. Hey, let's stop at that brewery, that brew house at 2 o'clock. Of course, then you got to drive. Then you got to ride another 30 miles, and it's a little wobbly on the end. But
That's right.
Well, let's talk about fitrv.com, keeping you and your RV on the road. And Steph, your background is you are, besides an extensive education in physical fitness and exercise, you are a personal trainer as well.
Correct. In fact, I just came from the gym where I work to do this podcast. But yeah, and my specialty is with older adults. So that's where we kind of focus our exercise. And, you know, RVing is a lot of older adults because they're the ones who have the time to do it, the money to do it. So we try to push this message on our website that you want to stay healthy on the road. You want to age well. And RVing is a great place you can do that.
Start with maybe just that for a second. And both of you guys jump in on this.
Okay.
Why exercise? And when we talk about exercise, we're not talking about a casual walk. We're talking about, you know, vigorous exercise. Why that is so important as people age?
Well, and I almost think it's even more important as people age than any other time in our lives.
Yeah.
You know, we've all heard of osteoporosis, correct?
You see those people all hunched over, yeah.
Right. Yep. But Mike, have you heard of sarcopenia?
No, but I can tell I don't want it, whatever it is.
But always surprising.
See, yeah, this is the problem. See, not everybody gets osteoporosis, but sarcopenia will affect everyone.
Correct. So sarcopenia is muscle wasting that happens with age. It's our muscles shrinking as we get older. We all go through it to some extent. However, people who do not exercise, they're going to go through it a lot more severely. And that's when you see people starting to have problems climbing the steps, having problems getting in and out of the RV, bending down to do the hookups.
Having problems picking up the grandchildren even.
Right. And so that's why we are trying to push this message of get out of the RV, get moving, lift some heavy things, keep your strength up, and combat sarcopenia.
Hmm. That's I know that you do lose, starting at the age of like, what, 25, you start losing muscle tone.
And it's yep, you're right. Even as young as 30, sarcopenia could start happening for people that are sedentary. Correct.
The whole RV lifestyle is, how do I say this without offending a lot of people, but it is not very healthy if people treat it as a holiday or a vacation every day.
We get that all the time. People will say to us things like, well, we're on vacation. We don't need to work out. We're here to rest.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing about vacation is no one says, you know, I'm going on vacation. I'm not going to take my blood pressure medicine. Right. Nobody says that.
Right. You continue to take it on vacation.
Right. And you know, it's important to realize that exercise is just as important as some of those other things in order to stay healthy. And so you shouldn't take a vacation from it.
Right. Exercise is medicine. If you want to live longer and live better, you're going to take your blood pressure medicine. Well, if you want to live longer and live better, you need exercise too. It's another form of medicine.
Now, when you talk about exercise, what kind of exercise are we talking about? Some people say, well, I walk, you know, I do some, I take a walk every night. And I mean, that's good, I'm sure. But we're talking more than that, aren't we?
Right. And that's good. And I'm so glad you brought that up about walking, because I hear that all the time too. People will put their pedometers on and say, I got my 10,000 steps today. I'm good. But the thing is, walking isn't enough. And walking alone may not even create that training response our bodies need for lowered blood pressure, for better heart, cardiovascular endurance. Your walking needs to be so intense that you're getting a little winded, you're getting a little sweaty. That's the kind of walking that counts as exercise. The steps you take to the fridge, going to the bathroom, all those that count on your pedometer, they are not going to bring about the training response your body needs to stay fit and to age well.
And beyond that, it's even just walking alone isn't enough. You need to incorporate some strength training. That'll help, in addition to helping combat osteoporosis, which, you know, weight-bearing exercise does.
Correct.
it'll also help with muscle wasting so that, you know, you can continue to walk and pick up the grandkids as you age.
Exactly. And we usually just go with a general recommendation, which is 2 strength training workouts a week, full body strength training, lifting heavy, and then 150 minutes minimum cardiovascular activity of moderate intensity. And that means if you try singing, it's hard for you. So just strolling along the mall does not count towards those 150 minutes of cardiovascular exercise.
My wife told me that if I don't sweat, I'm not working out. And I think she's right. Yeah.
That's a good gauge. Unfortunately, it has to be pretty hard. You have to get a little uncomfortable to get stronger and healthier and get that training response.
Now, talk about what happens to those folks. Well, first of all, what's the benefit of this besides, you know, okay, you're going to be able to move around. I think people are unaware of how healthy you can be into old age. I mean, really old age, into your 80s, you can be healthy, really healthy and feel good. And many people I see out there in the RV world, they're in their 50s, late 50s, their 60s, and they look like they're 80.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. How do we convince them of the difference this can make in their life and in their traveling and RVing?
It's a hard sell, to be honest.
Yeah. We've been at this about 2 years now, and starting off, it was really tough to get an audience of any sort with the RVing community, but that's changing.
It is. People are getting more interested in fitness, staying healthy on the road. And sometimes it happens with a life scare. So somebody will go to the doctor and be diagnosed with diabetes or some sort of heart condition. They get scared into exercising. Unfortunately, that happens frequently. They wait.
Yeah.
But
so yeah, it is tough to get the message out. We do the best we can with the website. We're going to a couple rallies in the coming weeks, you know, to talk to people at RV events. We've been to RV shows in the past.
Yep.
You know, to give seminars and it's a small percentage of folks that we're getting that buy in, but it's growing. And, you know, if you have any ideas of how we can convince more people that healthy lifestyle is going to be better for them, we're all ears.
One of the things I've noticed is that there are now, at least that I can detect, there's about 2 distinct categories of RVers. There are the I want to say old in mind set who just sit. And then there is, I think, the source of all of the RV boom that we're seeing, the sales boom and the many people that are excited about RV, which are today's baby boomers who generally are more affluent and have and are much more active and healthy and health oriented than previous generations of retirees. And that's where I think we're seeing the excitement because
that number is growing. There's more and more people. And you can see RV campgrounds even catering to them. We've got pickleball now, and we've got more shuffleboard and volleyball courts.
Somebody told me that
happening at the RV campground than we've ever seen in decades before.
Somebody told me pickleball is the fastest growing sport in America.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it's a pretty active sport, actually. I was surprised.
It is a very active sport. But the great thing is you can just start up at any time and you can actually win. There's not a lot of, you don't need to be that technical to play pickleball. So it's a great sport. If you haven't tried it, I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, I found it in Florida. These guys said, oh yeah, come try it. I think I'm going to play with all these old farts. And oh my gosh, they kicked my butt all up and down that court. That's a lot of fun. Let's talk some more though about working out on the road. Okay. And the challenge that many have you can carry weights if you have a bigger unit, but for those of us in small motorhomes, it's hard to take a lot of extra stuff. As you've pointed out in some of your videos, first, our bodies are pretty good weights to move around. But one of the things Jennifer and I did, by the way, is we joined a national fitness club that has branches. In the case of ours, it's Anytime Fitness, but there's others out there. Snap is another one. We're in almost every city we go, we can find a gym. And the beauty of that is it's the same equipment on all of them, so you need to know them. That's what we did. But other things that people can do to incorporate vigorous exercise on a daily basis into their RV lifestyle.
Okay, I'll take that one. So, you know, they're one of the things that we recommend on our website, and it's probably our number one piece of fitness equipment to take along, are resistance bands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we really like those. They pack down to nothing. And we use a kind that that has like a different, you can just clip on the handles so that you can actually double and triple them up and pull three bands instead of one. And you can get, I mean, I work out a lot and I can get a really good workout with just the resistance bands.
Right.
So you can do your 2 days of weights with these resistance bands.
Yeah,
right.
That's one. The other is to, you know, that's one way to get that kind of exercise. And then there's the gym, as you said. The other, and this just maybe comes more naturally to us and probably to you since we're class Bers, and that's to incorporate activity as part of your adventure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't take an RV trip to go sit in an RV park and watch Dish Network.
Yeah.
Take an RV trip to go to a national park and hike the Grand Canyon or
something. Exactly. Like this weekend, we have reservations. We are going to take some sailing lessons and go kayaking at a lake this weekend. So our trip is to go do these active things. It becomes part of the trip.
And we take bicycles. And speaking of which, I got to say, you showed James in one of the videos on thefitrv.com that you store your bike right inside that center door on your Sprinter.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a bit of a finagling to get it in there, but we figured it out. It's I mentioned I raced, and we have really swanky race bikes, and so it's not the kind of thing we would put on a trailer or out on the back.
Right.
People had a guy asked me that, hey, can I get a good bike for $100 or so? And I said, well, if you're 9 years old, maybe, you know, but yeah, they are expensive. But we'll urge people to look at some of your videos, and you've got, and the tour of your DOS bus, as you call it, shows where you mount that bike. Biking is one thing. Take a bike with you, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Definitely.
In the winter, biking maybe not such a popular option, but we found snowshoeing is great and requires almost no skill and just the snowshoes for equipment, really.
Right.
We did that. We took a group of, we didn't know who would show up, and about 30 different Class B RVers showed up in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, and we snowshoed for the weekend. We were like little kids playing out in the snow all week. But what a workout that is.
Definitely.
You were at Tequamanon, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We went up to Tequamanon.
Oh,
we're doing another one next January. There. So come on up for it, you know?
Yeah. We were at Tequamanon last spring, and we did some hiking around in the snow.
Yeah. We had forgotten the snowshoes.
we had 3 feet of snow, and so it was just a great time, and it was just a lot of fun, and no one believed how much fun it was. We had one couple of came from Atlanta and never saw snow, and it was great. But folks who are listening to this say, get back on the Fit RV topic, but that's the problem when you find kindred spirits, you go off in a million directions.
Yeah.
Now you also taught. So we got bicycling, we got a gym that people can enjoy. You got the bands that you can bring. Right. Steph, talk about a good workout for somebody who's listening to this and says, okay, this was the last straw. I am going to do this. I want to get this. Help them out. Help them get started. And then what do we shoot for with both of you? How long? How do we do it? And any tips on making this a part of our life?
Well, and I usually start real simple with people who have never exercised before. I might just say, okay, make a goal for this first week. You're going to sit down on the couch and you're going to stand up 10 times in a row. And then you're going to sit down on the edge of the couch and you're going to lean back and then sit back upright 10 times in a row. And that's it. Do that 7 days in a row. Start something like that. And so, you know, just to get a feel for, okay, I'm exercising. It might just be for 3 minutes a day, but at least you start getting into that habit.
And Steph has clients as old as 97.
Yes, I do. I had him today. I see him 3 days a week.
And that's the point, that you can do this. You can be healthy and fit into your 90s.
Absolutely. You sure can.
Yeah, somebody, the 97-year-old does push-ups, by the way.
Yes. Wow. Wow.
And he works out. You know, it's 3 days a week. So he's living proof.
Okay. So you start real simple with just some basic functional exercising, getting up and back and forth. And then, you know, let's say,
How many days a week do you recommend people, by the way, work out? What's your suggestion?
As long as they're doing the strength at least 2 full body workouts a week, I'm okay with it. Once you get more fit, I would suggest doing 3 full body strength workouts a week. And then don't forget, you're still getting that 150 minutes of cardio on top of that. So it's a lot. It's a lot of exercise you need to do to stay fit.
But that's all I do, is I do 3 strength workouts a week. And then right. I am doing, I mean, the biking is a ton of cardio. So I'm not worried there, but right. I do 3 strength workouts a week, and that's all I do. And I'm able to maintain, you know, the muscle mass.
Yeah, James has a bodybuilder physique, and that's just from those 3 workouts a week that he does.
That's great. That is really, really good. James shaved all his hair off so he can go faster on that bike, I see, by the way.
It didn't make me any faster.
You know, you could make it a lethal effect. If you pulled all your teeth out, you could probably save another couple ounces, too. Bicyclists are fanatics about how much our bikes weigh.
but if I really wanted to get better on the bike, I would stop the weightlifting, ironically. Yeah. But I just won't do it. So,
all right. So, my goal, and we talked before we started the podcast. And I've recommended this book to our listeners before. But Younger Next Year, there's a version for men. There's a version for women.
Yep.
Talks about particularly as you hit 50 and 60 and beyond, how important physical fitness is and exercise. And their goal, and I think it that sunk me, was that is my job, 6 right. days a week. Minimum of 45 minutes of cardio, minimum of 2 days a week of strength on top of that.
Right.
And I've been doing that now for about 5 months, and I can't believe the difference in just how well I feel as I move around.
Well, and I'd also like to say that I recommend that book for a lot of my clients, and it's incredibly motivating. If you're just getting into fitness now, I suggest you run out and buy that book Younger Next Year, because it is a great place to start, and you will want to get up and get moving after just a chapter into that book.
Yeah.
It's that motivating?
It is.
It truly is. I'll put a link up on the show notes. So we talked about that. Let's talk about eating on the road.
Okay.
Help us out with that.
That's a tough one. So
it requires a lot of planning if you want to do it right. You can't just pull into the Flying J and get the super tanker and a bag of Skittles and call it good. That's not going to work.
Well, and we have a couple strategies we recommend. So when you're driving, when you have long road trips, first off, we recommend stopping every 2 hours, getting 15 minutes of exercise, but also using that time to have your snack or your lunch or your breakfast. So we say don't eat and drive. You know that mindless eating you can do when you're on a road trip. You grab a bag of peanuts or something and you just keep eating because you're bored and you're driving along you're going to tend to overeat when you're driving. So we always recommend don't eat while driving. Wait until you're stopped. Have your planned snack then or your meal at that time.
Yeah, and that will also encourage you to actually stop every 2 hours.
That's kind of like don't eat standing up when you're at home.
Yeah,
another thing we've heard about.
Right. Like,
so stopping.
Being mindful about your eating.
So. Yeah.
That's a good stop. So every 2 hours, you sort of stop, you get out, you move around 15 minutes of some probably something like that.
Yep.
You know, that brings up one other question I have. Okay. Yep. So when you drive a lot, you get a really sore butt. I don't know how to say it.
Well,
what do you do about that?
That's true. Now, some of that might be poor driving posture, too. And so you always want to make sure your seat is set properly. And there's a lot of recommendations for setting your seat properly. I don't know if we want to go into that or not.
Well, I think I've noticed that, and I've heard others say, I get really, the top of my right leg or my left leg. And I think that probably is adjusting that seat.
Right. But also the disc between your vertebrae that normally expand and contract with movement, that they are getting squished. And so that they can get more inflamed then when you sit for a long time because they're used to being able to move, soak up fresh nutrients. But when you're in that seated position for so long, they aren't able to do that. So that makes you more susceptible to injury, inflammation in the back. And that's another reason why we recommend getting up and getting moving every 2 hours.
2 hours. That's good. Back to food.
Okay. So, and if you can't, and if you're not eating while you're driving, that's motivation to get up and to stop every 2 hours, because that means in addition to moving, you can have a snack.
And when you say snack, we're talking about fresh fruit. you know, healthy stuff, not chips.
Healthy stuff,
not
right?
Chips.
And planning ahead, not chips, not the gas station crap.
Yeah.
But so if you like salty snacks, a great snack in the RV is popcorn. You can eat 3 cups of popcorn is less than 100 calories. It's like 93 calories.
If you get the right kind, don't get the covered in butter.
Yeah, it's no butter.
You pop your own. So, you know, 2 tablespoons in a brown paper bag in the microwave for 2 minutes. You've got your own bag. But then you get fun with toppings, Italian seasoning, spicy peppers, a little olive oil spray. And there you go. Popcorn's a great snack for salty lovers.
Yeah. Nuts. I love nuts. I have to be portioned out nuts or I will consume the entire container of nuts.
Well, and that brings us to a great point. We do little snack bags. So James has a portion of 2 tablespoons of nuts and that's what he gets. So when things are portioned out, you're more likely to stop at the end of the bag. Right, so we recommend that.
Healthy snacks every 2 hours gives you a reason to stop. How about some of the meals? Breakfast, for example. Right. A lot of people, and particularly RVers, they skip breakfast.
Well, and that's bad. That's bad because we need to have the most of our calories in the morning as our day's getting started. So skipping breakfast, not good. You also need to make sure you have some healthy fats with your breakfast. You know, don't just...
Yeah, fat isn't the enemy. Correct. We want to make that point.
Correct.
Too many calories is the enemy.
Right, right. Gone is the day where low fat was healthy. Now we know we need our fats. We just don't need so many calories, so less portion.
And there are different types of saturated, which is bad, right. Unsaturated, right. Which is a little better.
Yeah, yeah, but trans fats are the real bad ones.
Bad stuff. Well, boy, our time is just about gone here. Okay. So on your website, and we're going to put a link, FitRV, you've got some recipes, you've got workouts and fit tips. Where can people see you guys? You said you're going to do a couple rallies. What's coming up this year?
Well, let's see. I think we're going to be at the Advanced RV Rally up in the Cleveland area.
That's for a lot of Class B folks, says Mike Niederdorf. Yep, good guy there.
Yep.
He's an old pal. In fact, I think I did the first review on his unit when he first came out couple of years ago. So say hi to Mike and appreciate
will.
It. Yep.
We will.
Okay, so that's one coming up.
And then after that, I think we're going up to Ontario, to the Hitch House.
Right, for their open house. That's an RV dealership in Canada.
Well, that is great. Well, we will kind of follow you guys along the line, and we've got to hook up on the road sometime.
Definitely.
We've got too many people. If people have questions, they can reach you right through the blog, and I know you answer questions, and are you guys on Facebook, any of that stuff as well?
We are. We're on Facebook.com/TheFitRV.
All right. Well, Steph and James, you have been a delight. I can't wait till we meet out there on the road. And until that time, we are going to tell everybody just exercise good. Every single day, and you'll be happy. Great having you guys on the program.
Thanks a lot,
for having
Mike.
Us, Mike.
In a Class B motor home. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking. Road Trekking.
Road Trekking indeed. This is the travel season. We're almost now into May. That means it's getting warm. Isn't that great? A lot of people on the roads, and we hope that you will take Stephanie and James' advice there from the Fit RV very well. Exercise. We talked about that book called Younger Next Year. Please look in the show notes section for this episode, roadtrekking.com/33. And I have a link for that book. It is a powerful book that tells you how you can stay healthy for a long time. All you have to do is take care of yourself. So please check that book out, that resource. There's a link right on it. You can get right to it on Amazon. And you can also get to Stephanie and James's website. Thanks to both of them for a lot of fun, a good interview. Great couple. I hope you get a chance to meet them in person at the time. We'll get them back on the show later on as well. And thank you for listening to this episode, number 33. Wow, we have had such a great time.
Now, Jennifer and I are about ready to hit the road for our trip that'll have us out there for several months at a time. But fear not, we will still have a new episode every Wednesday because we have in our RV a full podcasting studio. Not only do we do video out there on the road, we've been doing that for 3 years, but now we've got a little podcasting studio. And in fact, as we travel about, we'll be grabbing guests that we meet at different places and bringing them into the RV for interviews. And we can't wait to get out there. So we're getting ourselves all organized. Remember, if you would like to have your voice heard and be a part of this podcast, you can record a voicemail message. All you have to do is click the right-hand button on the roadtrekking.com website. Please also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/roadtrekking. And if you're on Twitter, you can follow me at roadtrekking. I want to thank all of those who have given us a review, and I want to ask if you have not done so, if you're a regular listener of this podcast, we sure would appreciate a nice review from you. On iTunes, there's at the bottom of the show notes page, roadtrekking.com 33, we tell you how you can do that. And I want to thank No Towing for saying, I really appreciate the information, enthusiasm Mike and Jennifer and the guests pass on through these podcasts. We almost brought a camper, decided against it. We heard about Class Bs. I'll pick up our brand new road trek this week, and I look forward to being on the road. Thank you, No Towing, for that note. Thank all of you for listening. Please, if you would leave us a rating, those 5-star reviews sure help, and a review through iTunes. It helps us get this show out there and noticed. So ends this episode. Wherever you are, I hope you have safe and happy miles underneath those tires. Thank you for putting me in your ear.